Welcome back to NALP's Young Professionals Network podcast, Growing in the Green Industry. Today's podcast is powered by our YPN network partner, Steel. Steel makes a full line of gasoline and battery-powered outdoor power equipment for the demanding landscape professional. Find yours at steelusa.com. Your hosts of today's episode include myself, Neil Glatt with Grow the Bench, and Brett Lefty with RM Landscape. How are you doing, Brett?
I am well, Neil. How are you today?
Not as good as you, man. You look well-rested from vacation and excited to be...
Well, you ever have those adventure vacations where you think they're fantastic to get away, but the well-rested is not necessarily the true statement.
That's true.
Different change of pace, exciting, brings back a lot of excitement when you do come home. Yeah. The first official business back is this podcast. So bam, well,
I can tell you at least got some sun, but I'm excited about our guest today. Do you want to introduce Paul?
Yes, we have the product manager, Paul Bablowski, oversees product development for Steel Professional Battery Products and Energy Management in the United States. He works in various roles of Steel, including senior project coordinator, supervisor of quality systems, and supplier quality engineer. In his last role as senior project manager, he directed the ideation, planning, and execution of system integrations. Before Steel, Paul spent 4 years at Briggs & Stratton Corporation, serving as quality assurance supervisor and manufacturing engineer at the company's manufacturing facilities in Statesboro, Georgia. Paul received a Bachelor's of Science in Mechanical Engineering Technology from Georgia Southern University and a Master's in Business Administration from the College of William & Mary. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Neil, we've got a brain with us today. This person, we've got someone smart with us today.
Yeah. So here's the rule, Paul, just like Michael in The Office, explain it like it's to a 5-year-old, right?
That's it.
All right. So Paul, you are the big reason why we're actually able to use zero emission chainsaws, weed whackers, leaf blowers in our business, right? Is that kind of the essence of what you're making sure that we can do as landscapers here?
Correct. So the role is to discuss use cases as well as holes in the product portfolio, provide that information back to our engineers and R&D, and work holistically across the corporation, both here in the US as well as with our colleagues in Germany, to ensure that we develop and deploy the solutions that professional landscapers, arborists, et cetera, need to get the day-to-day and the month-to-month done.
Yeah, so I guess let's just kind of talk about the state of battery-powered equipment in general, right, in our industry right now. Certainly, we've seen some regulations force change, California notably, but also even before that, manufacturers have really been leading the charge and Steel as a standout in terms of investment for making this stuff a reality. What is your viewpoint of the marketplace in terms of adoption, legislation, and capability right now?
Sure. So adoption goes in phases. We see the standard bell curve that you see with any change, whether it be personal, professional, corporations, countries. We have early adopters of change, we have slow movers, and then we've got the people in the middle. And what we saw in battery, of course, was that the easiest thing to solve was for the consumers at first. And over time, as technology has changed, grown, matured, we have seen professional units become a reality. A classic example for us here at Steel was the launch of the Platform 135. For us, that is using the same drive shaft, the same gear head as our professional gas units. So now we're basically just taking the same ability to deliver at the end and changing the power source. So whether it might be gas or battery, that is what we've seen so far in the market. as this has all become a reality, regulation has started to play more and more of a role in what we are seeing in the marketplace. CARB 24, of course, has a large effect on the California market. But in addition to that, we're seeing in many municipalities, noise ordinances go into effect that affect blowers or outright outdoor power equipment gas banning. All of this has an effect on what the consumer, the professional, even the municipalities can use while they're still trying to get the same day-to-day job done.
So you mentioned CARB 24. What is that for our non-California listeners who maybe missed this piece of legislation?
Sure. So there's quite a bit to unpack there, but we'll keep it at that five-year-old level. in short, they're going to ban the sale of gasoline-powered outdoor power equipment, okay? And there are some exceptions to that rule. We won't go into details. And prime exception, just as an example, would be gasoline-powered chainsaws above 45 cc's are not banned. They're considered construction equipment and are still able to be used for the next several years. However, the effect that that has on the market, of course, is starting in 2024, the dealerships, the big box stores, everybody is going to have to shift to selling battery outdoor powered equipment only. And this is, of course, going to have an immediate effect on what's being used in the field, as well as what everybody else in the country is going to look to see if it's possible that this sort of thing is realistic, that the power grid can handle it, that the end users are happy with the solution that California has come up with.
Yeah, and California being such a large state and such a large market for this equipment, I mean, you either have a choice as a manufacturer, right? I'm not going to sell in California, or this is going to be a reality for us, not something that we just slap a tag on for the state, right? Like this is a whole nother manufacturing chain and value chain that we have to set up here.
Correct. And this is not something that's new to us. Steel, of course, has been investing in battery technology and electric corded units for many, many years. So this is not something that caught us off guard and we were suddenly as if, let us start to develop now. This is, right. We have had a long history of innovation, and battery is just the next power platform that we are diving into, as well as many other manufacturers out there, I believe, have seen the same sort of writing on the wall that this is a future for the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched New York State is proposing the same legislation now with maybe 2027 as a target. Not sure if it's been, you know, officially put into place, but it was helpful. And so I'm yet typical contractor, read that news, reacted. But what I did appreciate is the marketplace has the solution already. And so it wasn't for me to go to Steel and say, have you all thought about this? And so immediately, I think that day I'm emailing my local reps for battery powered product. And we use a lot of Steel, and I'm like, well, what can we do here? And within a few short weeks, we're being introduced to the line of the battery products and so on. So, so it was well placed timing, and I'm guessing from a historical standpoint, this is all being Europe has embraced this technology sooner than we have, and that's been transferring over, or just the way they think and operate. But appreciate that, you know, in this situation with legislation that we have, you know, suppliers that are thinking these solutions way before we are, and we're able to respond quickly and be one of the early adopters. And then those that are going to be forced into it through the legislation will have, you know, good, successful commercial, you know, grade equipment to be operating with.
Right. And a lot of this is driven through a couple certifications. Do you guys know about AGSA or ZEE?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. So let's start with AGSA. AGSA is the American Green Zone Association, and they provide a certification for certain power equipment that meet their field testing standards. And this association goes around the country and works with different municipalities, as well as, I believe, universities, these sorts of larger entities, to talk about the possibility and showcase units that are able to withstand commercial use. And of course, our entire AP line is AGSA certified. And then ZEE is another certification that the car board in California created to define commercial equipment. And of course, Steel's AP line has many units that have underwent this extremely difficult durability testing as well as performance testing to receive that ZEE certification. So not only is there a lot of innovation occurring, but as part of that, there are also ways to showcase that in the market. There are certifications that show these units are actually worth taking a look at. And in many instances, you can reach out to somebody at AGSA and have units put before you.
That's really great information to know. I just went to the AGSA website, and they have a list of all the equipment from all their manufacturers that are certified. And there's not a lot of manufacturers here, right? There's like a half dozen names, some you'd expect, some that are kind of suspiciously missing from the certification. And I think that this is a huge resource for any, you know, commercial green industry company to look at and say, okay, listen, we know that we have to transition here. We want to get equipment that's going to hold up to the task, obviously. Our local dealers collectively have a couple dozen options. How do we choose? You can narrow it down to something that's been proven. And from what I can see quickly, it looks like these are being tested at, you know, various cities and golf courses and municipal parks, right? Definitely not a light use scenario. And also interesting that only some of the products from these manufacturers are on this list, right? So don't accidentally buy the residential grade. Don't buy from the manufacturer who hasn't bothered to get certified. Of course, Steel is on here with quite a nice list of equipment, which is reassuring when you're making your first foray into this field.
Yeah, it was the trade showed floors, getting out there, touching those, some of that firsthand experience. It's the relationship with your local dealers or even representatives from the manufacturers, and being able to just talk through it but then getting your hands on it. So we've outfitted one crew this year with it, that, and I was very, by design, this crew could give me is a strong feedback team, and they'll apply that there. We spread out a couple other units through some residential teams versus some commercial sites, but all daily use kind of needs, and are getting a lot of good feedback. And a lot of it's positive. A lot of it's just changing the way we think about how you would operate with a piece of equipment, where weight is being distributed, where what power should feel like. And then obviously the noise reduction is just, you know, the value of that piece. But overall, really strong. But it lend itself to, you know, a crawl, walk, run. Understand it first before you go and scale, because we figured out logistics of our trailers, charging systems, how things are going to be supported versus just going out and outfitting and not having it backed up. And we find this even within the battery power mower market that we have, some of those going, how do we keep these things moving? Spring conditions, summer conditions. So field testing, working with your local reps to speak through pieces, and then going, seeing the latest, greatest at events like Elevate coming up, and other power equipment expos, or just being and touching the stuff before you really have to commit is very helpful.
Yeah. So Brett, I'm curious what you're experimenting with. Are you, which tools, what kind of charging solutions are you using, the backpack batteries, or how are you getting field for the power in the field for all that?
Yeah, we got a full sort of scattering of trimmers, hedge, the power broom, blowers. We put ourselves in just about any of those daily needs. We got the push mower, and we're putting them all through testing, and we had retrofitted a trailer to accommodate plug-in at the end of the night. And we've set up battery stations within the space. So we have, you know, we could charge multiple batteries at a time. The backpack trimmer is being great, working very well. Again, they're finding themselves feeling the fatigue of holding it. A gas in the hands is now being transferred to the carrier of the back of the battery, but they're using, like in this scenario, I think they used it for almost half day and barely saw any movement in the battery. And, so they're gaining the confidence. And of course, everybody's skeptic within the operators. You have some old team members that are just like, no, if it don't rumble in my hands, I'm confused by it. But they've really turned a different perspective to it, and they appreciate what it's doing. And we know we're growing with it. And so I think we need a backpack blower that can blow wet grass off a sidewalk, right? And you're like, no, this isn't the power that's coming out of these things. And we need to blow fall cleanup with, the biggest badass backpack blower that you got out there. And
the morning after a thunderstorm, right?
That's it. That leaf is just glued. How do I get it off? And of course we still have, we'll need and support that with the units. And that's a progression of things. And so we're not trying to test something that's going to fail or not meet the results where we need. We're tempering those expectations. And again, we were very strategic with who we put these with. And so trying a lot of things. There's some units that we're using a great deal more. Others where, you know, we've used it time for time, but it's worked. But little by little, we will start moving them. What I'm anticipating is that we also will see a longer life expectancy of this. And so we like 2 to 3 years for our gas handhelds for just frequency of use. I'd like to see that this could go to 3 to 4, maybe further as this develops. And then I've got longer life cycles with that.
Yeah. So I'm curious about the cycle life that you're talking about. Are you talking about the particular cycle life associated with the batteries? And are you paying attention to when you purchase a unit and its battery, what the expected cycle life is?
They discussed that with us. I mean, we knew what we were experiencing just from use, or, you know, the engine in the gas powered world was going to be, and just the amount of touches we have after that 2 to 3 year time. But the, you know, I couldn't recite what, and you probably could speak better to like what we anticipated out of the battery, but as long as we don't mishandle the unit itself, our anticipation of these units could last a lot longer for us.
Correct. And of course I can only speak to steel. The batteries themselves will get in the neighborhood of 1,200 cycles before it reaches 80% of its capacity. So it still has plenty of life left in it. But 1,200 uses and you're starting to reach that point. Our AP500S, the newer battery that uses a new technology, a power laminate cell technology, actually has 2,500 life cycles before it hits 80% of that. So that's something that we talk a lot about with landscapers and professionals, to say, when you purchase these units, with the amount of time and investment that you're going to put into them, it's important to know what the actual value is and what your payback is going to be. Because you're exactly right. These units are durable. Of course, the steel units, I have to go along that line, but they are very durable. We provide a very high quality, serviceable unit, and we provide a battery that is able to support that for many, many years to come with minimal service.
So yeah, Paul, at what point do you decide whether you're an equipment manufacturer or a battery company, right? And how does that work at Steel? I mean, is that a mind shift set that you've addressed at some point?
I don't know that those two are mutually exclusive. The idea that you have to be either a battery manufacturer or an equipment manufacturer, I think that you can be both, and Steel, of course, is working forward towards that. We not only have strategic partnerships to take advantage of the latest innovations in the battery market, but we also are bringing in manufacturing of our batteries to Virginia Beach here in the US, of course, with domestic and foreign components, but we will be able to bring all that in, vertically integrate, and then be able to manage the supply chain issues that so many people in the industry and worldwide are seeing that much better.
Is that a closer level of integration than when these things were mostly gas powered?
No.
Okay.
So we have an enormous manufacturing footprint here in the U.S. We've got over 150 acres in Virginia Beach, and over 3,000 people employed here working daily to produce for the United States. In fact, like 75% of what we produce here is sold in the United States. So we are just following the same blueprint that we laid on the gas side. We said, the best way for us to be able to control our quality, our cost, and to be able to provide to the market as they need is to vertically integrate and be able to have it all in-house. We're now just following suit.
And how common is that across manufacturers?
That is not a very common move. There are a lot of other manufacturers in the industry that have a tendency to outsource large portions of their operations.
What is been the path of battery from a growth standpoint? I mean, we've seen it for a while. I guess from my contractor perspective, the trend of utilizing it is growing, and maybe hearing more of my peers or our peers having crews out there over the last couple of years. But what are you all seeing from a movement from the gas versus battery world?
We're certainly seeing a lot of battery curious people at a minimum. And there are a lot of questions when it comes to the transition, because people are eyeing where they are now and where they have to get to be able to perform the same work and trying to make the appropriate business decision, because you don't want to make a decision that's not going to provide you with the appropriate ROI for your business. What they're looking for is an understanding of what is the full cost to move to battery and what is the required infrastructure to be able to move to battery. And then what are the offsetting expenses that are no longer a part of it, such as the high levels of maintenance, as well as the fuel consumption and other items. So things that we're working on this end will help to provide color for professionals on what the end result is going to look like. A lot of that is still under development, so I cannot speak plainly about it, but there are efforts for us to be able to educate the professionals and assist in that transition.
It's where I often try to move the conversation when talking with our local dealers about the mowers or the handhelds. And it's just, you know, there's upfront costs that are involved. Infrastructure or just unit costs are higher right now. As fast as we can, we move it to, well, life expectancies, transitions, and what that difference would be. It ultimately still is a difference in cost, and that will narrow. But then it is early adopters, I think, thinking about the person operating the unit, what the improvements of life will be with that to our clients. And so there's a lot of other softer costs that come into play here, and a strong marketing ability right now for early adopters to say what you're able to do before those in the market. Eventually, again, it's like the zero turn that came out, right? Eventually everybody will be operating the zero turn, and this technology will be in everybody's hands soon enough. But it is to think through and further than just what is it to buy one unit right now compared to a gas powered unit?
100%. You hit the nail on the head. There are upfront costs, there are reoccurring costs, and then there are hard and soft kind of opportunities within all of that. One thing that we talk about a lot and we hear a lot about, especially when we speak with municipalities, universities, golf courses, is the fact that in many instances, they can start earlier than they used to be able to and run longer because of how quiet a lot of these units are. They're not interrupting their customers, so they're able to actually get more work done in a day.
Yeah. You know, I think that's always the best starting point, right? Is what is my customer actually value here versus what is the state telling me to do? And if you can find that niche, and it's a niche, right? It's not for every contractor. It's not for every application yet. But if you can find that right opportunity, then that's where you can really start to maximize operations, potentially raise prices, and even, you know, start to get some real profit back out of the business.
Yeah, we've not seen any specifications in our markets to say you must, but we would identify a number of clients that would like us to not, or how many times, you know, a university, a period of time there was, the professors called, can you stop mowing? You're disrupting their studying or class and all their things. It's like, got it. No, but we'll keep moving on, right? And so, you know, we're trying to mow lawns. You guys are just trying to educate the youth. I mean, we're way more important. So
of course.
Yeah. Let's prioritize here. But I could appreciate that, Neil. Like, we might think like you'll love this, but some clients say, I just need you to manage the turf keep that shrub. Like, we don't have that now. When their, you know, residents or tenants or all those folks say, I can't handle hearing them during my work time, then all of a sudden value becomes a great deal.
And for a lot of customers, it's going to be an unasked question, right? Like, there's probably very few commercial customers who realize that there's actually a certification and these things are at that point where it could be deployed properly. So the account manager or the salesperson needs to be aware and be curious and walk through the door for those meetings and say, hey, the door I just walked through said you're a LEED certified building. Would it help you if we were able to use all zero emission equipment here? Right. Obviously it's a big change and it's more expensive, but technically it could be done. Is there enough value for that support for what else you have going on here, even though you've never mentioned this to me? Right.
Yeah. It's in that same realm of, you know, not to get too sidetracked, but the autonomy world. Like, is it that important that it's an unmanned operation right now? And I'd say it's a lot of curiosity and what does that mean? And, you know, and we in the position is, you know, this is a value to us as an organization as much as it a value to you as a client. I mean, it only took me probably a couple weeks of being around our battery only crew, which has battery mowers and battery handheld equipment, and realizing how much quieter it is. And then going over to a gas team and like, this is annoying. I'm already like just frustrated with the noise levels when you could see the potential of how quiet things could be, and having a conversation with our field manager while the team's out there mowing and not even have to miss it. The mower comes right up to you and it's just barely a piece. So there's it's just those moments. And so I think that investment, there is reason to not always say that it has to be 100%. The customer has to cover it. There's a lot of internal value into these technologies that again takes time, communicate well, and explain it through. And I'm finding it was interesting through, again, the infrastructure costs become a real part. We're talking to a truck manufacturer with their battery trucks, and they and said, before we will sort of say, go for it, you can put the order in, we want to talk to you about infrastructure, because if you don't have it, I'm concerned that it won't work for you. And then that could potentially be bad press out there. You know, one Twitter post that this didn't work. So they're very focused on asking the questions, and we went through this conversation with them. You know, of course they have options for us to consider, and they just want to make sure that everyone's taking the right steps, because it isn't just about an extension cord out to a mower, a unit, or a battery charger, right? There's a whole lot of thinking through it, and we're building a new facility, and the same conversation come up. How can you support all electric fleet? Do you need solar power? What are you building up? And then there's incentives out there. And so we're talking to the local, our town officials to say, how do you help us build this? Because the demand is going to just get higher and higher. So, aha moments, or, oh, I didn't know that. I just wanted to take a trimmer out today and just clean up this little area.
Yeah. So again, I'm sorry, Neil, go ahead.
Oh, I was just curious, Paul, what are you allowed to tell us on the horizon that we can expect?
We like to do cutting news here on Growing in the Green Industry. Heard it first.
Sure. Well, before we get to cutting news, what I would ask is, you talked about your trailers. I was curious how much they spoke about the regulations from the Department of Transportation regarding being able to move limited amounts of batteries on the road for commercial purpose.
Tell us about that regulation that Brett is definitely in compliance with.
DOT, you say, huh? DOT. Yeah, no, I know, right? They tell you to strap down a gas tank. So, but you're right. So, God dang it. That was not the latest news I wanted to hear on this. And something I'm gonna have to look into, right? And that's where, like, you know, our the dealer and, you know, and you all have representatives across the country, and every manufacturer does. It's to be able to speak beyond, I just putting units in your hand and you're paying me for those, right? That's the sales strat, you know, move. Like, the conversation was about how to charge them, how to use, but to go further is into the regulation of it. We got to get stronger and more comfortable with that piece. And so I suppose it's a right kind of move. We do talk to the DOT on a number of things when we scale. And so as this expands, I guess we'll have to, if you want to send a link, I'll take a link right now too. And I'll read it up real quick and I'll call my guy. Stop where you are. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, don't move.
We'll hopefully share it with the audience as well. And I can give you a very basic rundown. Of course, consult your attorney to get further details, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the understanding is that there is a point when you carry, I believe it's over 440 pounds worth of battery, that you move from being what they consider a materials of trade, which is what professional landscapers currently fall under with their gasoline, fertilizer, everything else carrying on the actual trailer or truck, into I believe it's dangerous goods shipping, which comes with additional levels of regulation. All of that is being reviewed, from what I understand, at the Department of Transportation. I do not know where it is headed with the advent of all of this battery technology that we are seeing in the field, but it is something that we as a company are concerned about and are educating and doing as much as we can to educate the professionals to ensure that we don't see any mishaps or fines occur, because you guys are what's most important. And that's why we have the trained sales staff across the entire nation to be able to answer these sorts of questions and talk through them as we see battery continue to grow in the professional area. It's not relevant for residential, but the second you start making money by your enterprise, it becomes a commercial endeavor and falls under different regulation.
So the good news is that 140 pounds is a lot of batteries, right?
440
pounds. Oh,
sorry. Correct.
Yeah, I'm doing the math real quick in my head, and I think we're way underneath.
You're way under that. Yeah.
We have two commercial mowers there in those that have batteries in those, but I still think, And the good thing to the listeners is we found that we're managing that capacity through a day's worth of work. Spring, even we had them operating in the spring, same thing. So yeah, as long as they keep that number up there, we're going to be just fine. And same idea with our, you know, with fuel, how do you know, we cannot transport X amount of gallons. And so, and we're very comfortable with that, but it is, I appreciate this part of the conversation. I think it's just the, hey, did you know, just another part to be in. Everybody's been stopped at the DOT stops in their organizations, and maybe they're not going to be completely, they're going to open up another typical landscaper. Let me see. And they're not going to see a gas thing. And they're going to hold us back saying, well, I got to look into this and slow us down, or maybe just say, okay, move on. You're fine. But being, you know, I always want to make sure that we're not, we're always following the rules, but we got to, it works hard to keep up with those rules too.
Correct. Correct. As this changes and grows, we're paying close attention to it, especially when we talk about trailers that are able to charge mobily. If you start to equip them with large amounts of batteries so that they can charge throughout the day, that's where we start to see this concern really start to come into play.
All right. Super insightful. What other things have we not considered that we should know about for battery technology here?
Yeah. Or you go get so excited after listening to this podcast and go and make sure.
Sure. But there is a lot to be excited about, of course. You guys are already hitting all the high points. Infrastructure is important when you think about batteries. The idea that you ensure you buy commercial grade instead of something that's throwaway is, of course, important when you buy a gas or a battery piece of equipment. Yeah. And the fact that you're seeing those both hard and soft kind of payback moments where you go, wow, this is a whole lot quieter. We provide a better service to our customer. We're now able maybe to quote for hospital jobs that we previously wouldn't have been able to quote. Those sorts of positioning for companies, these are things that you guys, I think, have discussed ad nauseum, but are so intrinsic in the understanding of that move towards battery. It's just that with all things come understanding that whole picture. And that's why you guys started this podcast, was to be able to provide amazing information to everybody who's looking to go green. So what's been the best and the worst part for you, Brett, as you've outfitted your this particular crew with battery?
Now, I'll add that we've got a wonderful support through our local dealer that we and you all do this. At least our dealer does this with John Deere as our mower. And we've been able to wrap up our steel products into the leasing program. And so from a finance standpoint, we're running those on, I think, 2 to 3 years life cycles and through lease payments rather than having outright purchases, because we're trying to flip about 1/3 of our units every year. And so that even as we are experiencing higher initial costs for some of these things, that makes it much more tolerable and manageable. And again, I'm hoping to see maybe 4 years plus out of some of these pieces. And so, and really good initial feedback. We haven't spent much time talking to the clients about it. We're just sort of quietly using it right now. But one of our larger clients asked us, called us randomly, I think 1 week, and said, hey, tell us what you think about the industries and changing with noise and I think some, you know, pesticides and all that. And so we said, well, what do you think about doing? We're like, well, we're actually already doing this. And they were pleasantly surprised and happy. And they had to send that up the pipeline to some other corporate folks. And so they took that and just ran with it. And so again, early adopters, happy to be the company in our market or one of the companies in our market that are really trying to approach this in a different way. And so all positive paths. Converting an entire organization over that, I have not thought of how long it's going to take for us to do that. 20 plus crews that are going to be going out right now. And so how do we little by little move that around? While I could probably be supplied with all this, it's probably the infrastructure and the training, the use that it's going to take the time for it. So I think we're going to really go to the run status. We're going to skip over walk here pretty soon. So that's going to be good.
I mean, I think that this is no longer a speculative opportunity for landscapers, right? Like, the legislation's clear. This is going to become the minimum requirement in order to do business in our industry in many parts of this country. And so do you want to be faced with that decision January 1st, 2024, of switching over 20 crews if you're in California? Or do you want to be phasing that in through a leads program with 2 years of experience of already, you know, learning the nuance and training everybody and figuring out how to dodge the DOT legally, right? Like,
yes, it's not just GPS. Oh, turn left here. I think so. I think it's going to be the step process. I mean, we put all the units out for our spring kickoff this past year. And the biggest feedback we got was, well, when you pull the trigger, it starts, right? And you're like, well, yeah. But then they're off in the field, you know, pulling and pulling on a gas engine, and you got to let it sit, or they think they've done something wrong. And so really the user experience is simplified as long as that battery is connected appropriately. And so that's downtime. And so for my trimmers aren't working statements, and I don't have that's hours and hours every year that we've regained with every crew that is utilizing this equipment. And so lots of pluses coming our way. Just need to spend the time with our teams, educating them through it. That's for sure.
Super cool.
That's great. Yeah, that the idea that the training is that much easier is something that we've heard across the board, across all battery equipment. The second that you've got a new guy come on, and especially with the labor shortages that we're seeing, Gen Z entering the market. Excuse me.
Good fade out music. That will, no, folks, we're done. Not fading out. Yeah.
Excuse me for that. The advent of Gen Z coming into the market and not having quite as much interaction with an internal combustion machine, it's that much easier to get somebody up and running and using a unit and not flooding it and causing downtime out in the field.
Super interesting. Well, we certainly appreciate having Steel as a partner available as a manufacturer, creating this great equipment, but also as the partner who enables this podcast to happen. So, Paul, thank you on all sides for the conversation. We close our podcast with a bit we call Rose and Thorn, where we talk about something really well that's going on for us and something that's maybe a little sticky. So, Brett, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'm easy. Coming off a high of a wonderful family trip out to the Oregon coast, just some really cool country. Did it with some landscaper friends, Bob Grover and his family and David Grover. So it was just, you know, to the point of the networks that we can create within this association or this industry, then to have families vacation together and have a blast. All fun things. Of course, the stack of email. I tried my best to keep up with it while I was away. So I'm going to be digging out over a couple of days. But this is summer, right? Summers are busy. There's a lot of family fun things that come into place as much as there is our time to get a lot of work done. I'm excited to be back at it. Today will be probably the day will be a thorn. Just get through everything that's going to be asked of me. So, how about you, Neil?
Yeah, well, I'm headed off to one of those great industry events at the Cultivate Conference tomorrow morning. So, excited to be there and presenting somehow 7 sessions over 4 days, including a 5-hour workshop. So, if you see me and I don't wave at you, not personal. I'm just off to the next thing, but I am excited for some good networking as well and a great education. So the only thorn is I'm coming off a little bit of a summer cold or allergies or something, and I'm into this whole routine of allergy meds and green tea and honey trying to keep my voice up to snuff right now. It is wearing on me. So That's my thorn.
And I think it has a nice edge to it right now on this podcast. I think you just sound a little bit more, you know, tough with that.
I'm trying to take after you.
Yeah.
Paul, what do you got going on right now?
Oh, let's see. A Rose professionally, we've got a lot of exciting units coming out in the next half year. If you come to the Equip Expo that used to be GIE, you're going to see some very interesting infrastructure topics, as well as some very new units that will be hitting the field shortly, some chainsaws, a backpack blower. Personally, it's summertime. I've got two boys, two dogs, and a beautiful wife. So we're having a great time in the pool and just enjoying summertime here at the beach. And then Thorns, I would say professionally, we continue to have the opportunity of supply chain concerns. So that's something that we, I think all manufacturers are discussing, but we are actively working on here, as we talked about. And then personally, I would say my golf game is my thorn. The two boys and the two dogs have pretty much eliminated any time out there on the green. So it's not pretty. It's not pretty, guys.
Gotta see if we can
tack on a round.
Let's call it a date.
Well, Paul, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And thank you to all of our listeners. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast with someone you know who is considering that. We'll see you all in our next episode.
Have a good one. Thank you. Thank you.